This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas.
Welcome in. Our next guest is Jonathan Isaac. And here's what's cool about introducing him, Pastor Jay. First of all, I've known him for several years, just an awesome human. But like, Jonathan, I don't know where to start, because when we start doing list of things about you, you are a basketball player for the Magic. You are an author, which both of my kids have read your book, Why I Stand. So that's pretty daggum cool. I've seen you all over the place doing interviews and stuff. You could do that and steal our jobs in a heartbeat. You started your own clothing line. So like 2020, you know, probably you talk about this probably ad nauseum and talk about it so much. Like, the world was crazy. There was a lot going on. A lot of people taking a knee. This is when I first heard about Jonathan Isaac, is when you stood for the national anthem and you didn't want to take a knee. I can't imagine like what was going through your heart and your head and how hard that was to stand and to be different. And I knew it. I know it took courage. Like, what went into that decision?
Man, it honestly was so tough. Like, I was terrified. I was afraid of what they would think. I was afraid of what they were going to say to me. I was worried about so much. But it came down to that one thing of, okay, what am I worried about more? Is it this opportunity to take a stand and to say what I feel needs to be said in this moment, where you have these two sides going at each other? Or am I going to, kind of acquiesce and just go with the flow? But it was rough. You know, I had a few teammates that were very involved in the movement, and they were, they were going to the rallies and they felt really strongly about it. So, beforehand, we had a team meeting to decide on what we were going to do. And, we get into the team meeting and, they're like, hey, we don't have a choice here. Everybody's just going to kneel. We're going to go with it. And just because the team had already knelt before us. So if we decided not to kneel, it would look like we weren't a part of what was going on. And so they were like, look, there's no conversation here. And, famously, one of my teammates turned towards me, of all people. I'm like, why is he turning towards me? He says, yo, Jonathan, what are you going to do? And I was like, fellas, I'm not going to kneel and I'm not going to wear the T-shirt. And like, as I'm saying that, I feel like just the overwhelming sense of anxiety and sweat coming down my forehead. And everybody breaks out into, oh, my gosh, here we go. Like, I always got to be the guy that's different or doing something else. And we got to talk about it a little bit. And I was just simply like, look, like I can't throw stones from a glass house. You know, I need the grace of God. And I don't feel comfortable, demonizing an entire group of people over the actions of one, in the way that everything was playing out. I didn't feel comfortable. And again, kind of gave them that same message. And I had a few teammates that were like, look, we know Jonathan, like we know who he is. We know, what he's about. Like, this isn't about him just trying to steal glory or be in the line. Like if he feels this way, it's because he really feels this way. And I wanted them to know that, like, I'm not protesting you guys. I just have a different solution than you. But the same, it ended kind of, begrudgingly, and everybody just kind of left. And after the whole thing went down, we had another team only meeting, which with this one was like, Jonathan, we're coming after you a little bit. And so we had a team only meeting, and they're like, hey, you're hijacking the movement. You're making this all about you. And I just tried my best to let them know my heart. Like, that wasn't my intentions. I'm trying to do what I feel is right for myself. And, I was so messed up about it. I cried afterwards. I called my pastor afterwards and was like, hey, this is the situation. And I'm crying on the phone. And he's like, look, man, you respected their decision to kneel. They got to respect your decision to stand. And you don't have to feel bad about it at all. And the same way that I spoke to him after, I spoke to him before, I decided to stand as well. And I was trying to get him to understand how crazy everything was going to be. I told him, like, look, I'm going to be a sellout. I'm going to be this and that. And he said, look, you cannot stand for God and God not stand for you. So he's been my rock through this whole thing. My spiritual father, he's invested in me and poured into me. And a lot of times where I'm wishy-washy and all, I believe, I don't believe, God, where are you? I hit him up and he kind of sets me straight and gives me the word and I can move forward.
That is so freaking cool, man. Like, it's just, it's awesome. And the thing that I love about that is we all have those people in our lives, Jonathan, and we all have the opportunity to be those people. Like, we have the opportunity, and I have it with my kids now, like to be their rock and to help them. Like, listen, persecution will come, like, and it's going to come for believers. It's going to come for everybody. Like, you're going to be chastised for your beliefs, and especially if you're standing. But like, the ability to have someone there, like, you got me, right? Like I'm doing the right thing, right? Like, yes, you're doing the right thing by the word of God. I think that's so powerful. What do you think about now, man? I feel like there's been a little bit of a movement back the other way now, where, like, I love the way the Chiefs have handled it. And I'd be interested to see, like, with Harrison Buckner, it's another thing, like, he's standing up for what he believes, and that's important to him. And I feel like sometimes, man, as believers, like, we don't get that opportunity. Like, we get attacked sometimes, and it's like, and that's fine. Like, we're gonna get attacked, but I love the Chiefs. They're like, well, he has the right to have his opinion, just like everybody else has the right to have your opinion. And I think a lot of that, man, if you don't make that stand, it might be harder for the next generation. I think you absolutely helped people and helped Harrison and others to be able to do that. And do you feel like it's different now?
I think it definitely is. And I think that, you know, it's just because of how needed it is. I feel like we really did get to a point where it was like, you cannot have a differing opinion from the mainstream or you are canceled, you know. And I think what honestly happened is people got tired of it. And people said, look, I'm gonna stand up for what I believe in. And what's funny is, you know, once one person does it and two people do it, everybody starts to gain that confidence. And like, no, this is what it is that we believe. And I'm comfortable saying it regardless of the backlash. And I think that's what our country's about. You know, at the end of the day, it's the bringing together of ideas and saying, hey, this is what I believe. This is what we believe. And we have a conversation. We debate. We whatever. But at the end of the day, we go back and we live our own lives. And I think we really did get into this crazy time where it was like, I felt it. I felt fear of what was going to happen. You know, I hadn't signed my NBA, my contract extension yet going into the next summer. That was going to be after the bubble. And I was terrified of, like, I don't know if I'm going to still be in the NBA. And you know, that's why, you know, those words from my pastor rung so true. You cannot stand for God and God not stand for you. And I was still able to sign the contract. But there was just a crazy time. And I definitely feel like it's calmed down. I think, you know, even things have come out about the organization. I've had conversations with players that were on my team at the time, and they were like, hey, you know, I definitely got kind of swept up into the emotions of the moment. But I think that's the enemy's play of, like, you know, the blinding of the emotions, the blinding of whatever's going on, and everybody just gets so enraged. And, you know, we talk about tolerance so much, but, you know, there was a time where there was no tolerance. And I think that it's coming back. Primarily from the side that's saying, you know, we're okay with you believing what you want to believe, but we're going to believe what we want to believe, and we're going to stand up for it, regardless of persecution, regardless of what anybody has to say about it. And I think that has caused everybody to just relax a little bit. We're fine. You know, America is fine. We're going to be okay. And we're free to believe what we want to believe.
Well, and I think the coolest thing about that, Pastor Jay, is like, and Jonathan, is it's, you're both Jonathans, I guess. I can just say Jonathan. That makes
Jonathan, that's a great Howells, name. Pastor Jay. And he spells it the biblical way.
I like that too. You know, the cool thing is, I also think that we have to do a good job as believers, is we have to do what Jonathan did. You have to be able to face adversity and differing of opinions, but not spew hatred and vitriol. Like, you have to be able to stand on your convictions, but like in First Peter, it talks about, like, share the gospel. You do that with gentleness, with kindness, with respect. Like, so because that's really showing a faith and a religion as opposed to attack. And that's where I feel like now we got so much attack. And you don't do this, you don't do that. You're wrong. It's like, I can have my same beliefs. You can have your same beliefs. So Pastor Jay, that's, I think that's on us as believers, man.
You know, and I love what Jonathan did, because I was thinking about the consequences of your actions. Like, you hadn't signed the NBA deal. You know, you weren't guaranteed anything moving forward. And it was such a crazy time. I mean, who, with the cancel culture and everything else, who knows how management or ownership or whoever is going to respond to this. But I do agree with Davey that we need to stand for what we believe in, not standing for what we're against. And I think what you were doing, you were standing for what you believed in and how Christ had changed your life. How is it being a Christian in the NBA? Is it hard to be a Christian and being in the NBA, standing for your faith? I know that was a one-time stand, but I feel like every day you're standing for your faith. Every day you're there's challenges and temptations, and you're on the road. And I don't know what the NBA is like. Davey and I talk a lot about the football locker room. What's it like being a Christian in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. You know, I'd be the first one to raise my hand and say, man, it's not easy. You know, I thank God for the people that he's put around me. My wife is amazing. My pastor is amazing. My church family, I would not be able to do it without them. There's been times of weakness and trying to get it right and fighting to get it right. But, you know, God's grace and mercy has been there for me. And I just, it's been a battle. And I think that what's awesome is that you kind of get this rep. Whereas, you know, you took the stand and you did what you did, but now it's like people see you that way. And now the conversations that I get to have with other guys across the league, chaplains across the league, you know, every now and then somebody will come up to me and say, hey, you know, I just have respect for you for what you did. They won't say it, you know, loudly or for everybody to hear, but, you know, I respect your stance and I believe the same thing. And those things are such great encouragers to keep going, to stay in the fight, to recognize that we have such a great, you know, kind of witnesses around us that are watching. And so that keeps me strong, that keeps me focused, that keeps me, you know, God, I'm locked in, you know, focused on you and moving forward. And so yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy just simply having, you know, access to excess. You know, at the end of the day, as NBA players, we can, you know, do whatever we want, go over whatever we want, get whatever we want. But it really is the grace of God and trying my best to continue to grow my relationship with him that keeps me grounded. And the truth of the gospel of the freedom in Christ through his grace and his mercy, you know, that's allotted to us and has helped me to keep going.
Yeah. And I love it because it keeps coming back to my wife, my pastor. And God designed our relationship with him. Jesus could have came and walked this earth and done so many miracles and done his thing by himself. He didn't need others, but he chose the disciples. He showed us that, like, he's got his wife, he's got his pastor. Like, we all need those people in our lives, man, that hold us to a higher standard. Like, that don't allow you to go, no. They don't allow you to do the stupid things. They're going to step in love. Like in caring, not just step in, just to step in and be a butt, but like to really protect your marriage and to protect your relationships. And I think that's cool. How did all that lead now to, like, I mean, you got your own clothing line, but it's very clear where this clothing line stands. And you're taking a stand for Jesus. You're putting Bible verses. Like, you got the Judas, the sneakers, and, you know, weareunitas.com, where you can get all of your paraphernalia. How did you now turn the page and go, this is, I want to take a brand, and I want people to know, like, because I love hearing you talk, because I think people understand, like, hey, Jesus is cool. Like, you don't have to be a fuddy-duddy. Like, we can kick it and have fun just like everybody else and still live to a standard and not drink alcohol and not have, you know, have sex with random people. Like, and so building this line, like, how did we get to that, and what does it mean to you?
Man, honestly, it really is such a cool story. And just to side pivot a little bit, what came to my mind when you were talking about, you know, just freedom and having fun, I remember when I first got like really, really saved and, you know, I was coming out of the world and I started to, you know, be in church all the time and the church would have gatherings and cool events and stuff like that. And I would start going to them and I was thinking to myself, man, this is the most fun that I've had, like just like in freedom. And I remember, you know, there's a football player that I, you know, I got connected with and we were cool and I was trying to bring him around the things of God. And I invited him on a boat, you know, out in Miami, you know, a couple of Christian friends were going out and we got on the boat, you know, no alcohol, just fun, just real fun. And he came up to me afterwards and was like, that is the most fun that I've ever had. Like, you know, and he's the one that said, you know, I'm not drinking, I wasn't smoking, but I had a lot of fun. And so just to your point, but the story about Unitas is really cool too. It's just like, when I was in the bubble, I was signed to Nike. I was a Nike athlete. You know, I ended up getting injured in the bubble and, you know, they made the decision not to re-sign me. And I remember going to my pastor, taking it to him. And I was like, hey, you know, when I get back from this injury, I'll probably try to go Adidas or something like that. And he was like, why don't you start your own? And I was like, huh? That doesn't make sense. Players don't do that. And he's like, why don't you start your own? Look into it. And so just trying my best to be obedient. You know, we started asking questions. I called my agent, hey, what do you think about me creating my own shoe? My agent's like, I don't know. You know, kind of seeing things from the natural perspective. And so, you know, we kind of just ran with it still. And it was really cool. Like, God just started to bring pieces together, you know, manufacturing, you know, this person is leaving this big company and wants to work in strictly Christian businesses, stuff like that started to just come around. And we were able to build a team. And then, you know, one day I get a call from my pastor and he's like, look, I'm at the altar right now at our church. One of the things that we have at our church is the Ark of the Covenant is right in the center of the, you know, the altar. And it has the angels with their wings pointed towards the flame. And he said that he was saying in prayer, God, you're the only thing that could unite us amongst the division, the racial division, the political division, amongst all the stuff. You're the only one that can unite us. And he was like, Jonathan, you need to name this brand Unite Us. And I was like, oh, you know, mic drop. That's perfect. We'll name it Unite Us. And we'll use the Ark of the Covenant as a play of the logo. And so that's how it started. And really, we just got to work. And it was like, hey, I want to build this shoe. I want to call it the Judah One. Judah's my middle name. How can we make this shoe authentic? It has to have a Bible verse. Each one has to have a different Bible verse that can speak to encouragement and confidence in Christ, and just encouraging the believer. And now when I'm getting dressed in the morning, I'm like, where's my United stuff? Like, I feel good about putting it on. You know, because of the encouragement that it is to me, I look when I'm putting my shoes on before the game starts, I'm reciting the verse to myself in my head saying, God, the righteous are as bold as lions, or, you know, cleanse me, make me as white as snow, all the different verses that we have. And I've heard testimonies of people saying that, you know, they're wearing it, they're putting the stuff on and they're encouraged. So it's just been a really cool ride. And I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing to grow it and turn this into a movement of believers being confident about where true greatness lies. It doesn't lie in our accolades. It doesn't lie in our status or how much money we have. True greatness lies in knowing Christ, serving Christ. And that's what the United brand tries to represent and redefine greatness to the world.
That's incredible. When you were talking about putting on your shoes and quoting the Bible verse, the image that came to me was a Christian putting on the armor of God.
Ephesians
6. Yep. And I was thinking, every time I go to preach on Sundays, as I physically kind of go through, like, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the peace shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, and of course the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And it talks about to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, kind of put off the old self and put on the new self. And you're like, those are the thoughts I was having when you're talking about your clothing line. It's like you're literally clothing yourself with the Lord Jesus, and you're making a statement, you're making a testimony every time you wear those shoes. Have you had opportunity, people ask you about your shoes, and it opens the door for you to talk about your faith?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. I did not expect, you know, other guys around the league to even know about them. I feel like I'm just in this little corner, like, you know, working on this brand. But I every game, you know, I have somebody saying, yo, I really love what you're doing with the shoes and all that stuff. We've had great favor. You know, we picked up our first college, you know, that's going to be wearing the shoes. And we're working on, you know, signing another NBA player outside of myself, and then being able to diversify and jump into other, you know, sports and things. So it's been awesome. But just the conversations of like, yo, yeah, you know, this is what we're doing. Like, you know, God would be like, yo, send me a pair. I'm like, yeah, I'll send you a pair and wear them if you want to, and all the different things. So I've had great conversations, and I've also heard great testimonies of, you know, I got a DM the other day. Hey, I was at the rec, and some guy started asking about the verse, and I was able to just share with him about Christ. You know, he's going to be coming to church with me next weekend or something like that. So it's been awesome, and God has been good through it.
That's cool. And if you go to weareunitus.com, and that's UNITUS.com, if you use the family code, type in family as the code, you'll get free shipping. When you talk about, you talk about your pastor and you talk about your wife, you travel a lot, man. Like, you're all over the place. There's a lot of businessmen that travel all over the place. Like, how do you protect that relationship? How do you protect that bond? What's the things you've put in place on the road? What's some things you found to be successful that maybe other people could take and steal for their marriages?
Yeah, I think just communication, you know, open lines of communication, being on the phone and, you know, FaceTimes and everything. I got a daughter now, so the FaceTimes are extra special now. But just the open lines of communication and just being, you know, transparent and real, you know, You know, my pastor is somebody that knows the good and the bad, you know, knows my ups and my downs and the whole nine. And I'm able to, you know, be transparent with him. And, you know, he's able to talk me through things and work through things. So it's just been awesome to have people in your corner that truly love you for you. And I think the biggest thing there is the open lines of communication and just trying my best to be transparent and forthright about, you know, who I am and what goes on.
What is your pastor's name? Because this dude is doing a lot. We need to hear his name.
I'm loving him promoting this pastor.
Golly, what's his name?
David needs to talk about me more.
His name is Dr. Daron Hepburn. The church he pastors is Jump Ministries Global Church here in Orlando. I've been going there for 7 years now, going on eight. You know, met my wife in the church that I started going to there. So it's just been an awesome ride. He's taught me so much, and he's definitely been my example.
That's a super. I didn't realize your logo came from the Ark of the Covenant, but it's an incredible story that your pastor's on his knees at the altar praying for you, and then that's where the name of your clothing brand came from. That's pretty powerful. What are some you know, we're the Family Goals podcast, so is there any marriage advice that you would give people? You mentioned communication, keeping those open lines of communication.
He's got a baby girl now too, so all that. I mean, that's a new challenge too, being on the road without her all the time. I'm sure all that's a challenge.
And another one on the way now too. We got one in the oven.
Oh, congratulations!
thank you. I would say just it when you're coming up and you hear all these married people talking about how it's work and it's challenging and it's dying to self. But at the same time, it is something so beautiful and empowering and forces you to become a better person if you allow it to. That's what I've experienced. My wife is, you know, she won't say it, but my wife is a saint. she's amazing. She's a trooper. She's strong. She believes in me. She encourages me. And it's a lot of times it's me that has to get through the things and continue to put the work in to try my best to become a better man. And she's given me the space to do that. And so I think just it really is work. It definitely takes two. And, you know, I'm grateful for her. I think God has truly blessed me with a better half. And so it makes it easier. But yeah, I would say my advice would be it is work. But the work pays off, and you truly can have the beautiful, you know, what everybody touts to be, all marriage is this, marriage is that, but, you know, this beautiful symmetry of work and it paying off to build something beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, and I'll give you some advice, man, because I was on the road for 15 years a lot, and, you know, your life is super exciting, and there's always a game, and there's always something, and people watch, and people are excited. Mama's life ain't like that all the time. Like, it's changing diapers and it's boring. And man, when I really learned like to ask about my wife's day all the time, like before she starts talking to me about the game and this and X, Y, and Z, I'm like, what have you been doing all day? Thank you for taking care of this. Thank you for taking care of that. Like, cause it's so easy because your life is so hectic and you're busy and you're going to meetings and then you kind of forget, like, she's doing the dirty work. Like she's doing the day-to-day stuff, man, that ain't that good. So that would definitely be a piece of advice, is making sure you're telling her that stuff, man, because it can be forgotten just because it's meeting, film, meeting, practice, next, work on my craft. Sometimes you get in a zone and you forget, like, oh yeah, like there's other stuff going on at home.
No, absolutely. I appreciate that.
So let me ask Jonathan this. I'm still curious about being a Christian in the NBA. And you're part of a local church, so when you're in town, obviously you go to church. You'd mentioned team chaplains at other teams. Do y'all have like a devotion before games? Like, is that a normal thing for NBA? Like before the game, like the home team would host like a chapel service for anyone who wants to come?
Exactly. Yes, 60 minutes before the game, and that's a great way we get to meet other guys from across the league and have conversations and just come together, and, you know, and focus on what's truly important for the day. And so it's been really good for me. You know, the whole process is, you know, keeps me grounded in the league, and again, being able to meet other guys and just being able to refocus before all the craziness before the game. It's like, hey, you know, this is what really matters, and I'm able to kind of be present.
Let me ask you this. When Davey, we mentioned earlier about he and I playing church basketball together, and I'm a pretty good trash talker, and a lot of people don't expect the pastor to be talking trash. I was just wondering if you were a trash talker. Like, are you talking trash out there on the NBA court?
Man, honestly, it's just not me. it's never been me. I'm not saying it's bad to or you can't. Like, it's just not who I am. And I remember one time I tried it, and this is in the NBA. The guy turns to me and says, "Come on, preacher man." I said, "Okay, I'm done."
Hey,
this isn't for me. Okay, I'll just play the game.
I got one for you, Jonathan. Just like if you get to beating somebody really bad, be like, "Listen, man, I'm coming back, and so is Jesus, and you ain't ready for either one of us." That's what you could tell. Hey, who's the around the league? I've always heard Chris Paul, like a giant trash talker, but who is a guy around the league? I'm not saying that he's nasty. I'm just saying that talks trash, that's always fun. You never know what's coming out of his mouth. Like, right away, I think about like a Draymond Green or someone like that.
Right. You know, there are a lot of guys who know how to do it well, where it's still, we can still laugh about it. You know what I'm saying? They're not getting disrespectful. They're not like taking it over the top. They know, you know, they're just trying to get in your head or, you know, cause some confusion. There's a lot of guys like that. We got guys like that on our team as well. I'm trying to think of somebody that comes to mind right away. I had some great conversation with Obi Toppin last night.
Okay,
going back and forth. You know, he told me that he was questionable for the game, and you know, because his ankle was sore. So I saw him before the game. I was like, dude, you might as well just take one more. You know, take one more game. You don't need to be on an ankle right now, stuff like that. So we kind of go back and forth, but it was fun. It wasn't, you know, a nasty or anything like that. And we, you know, guarding each other, we're able to go back and forth. So I think some guys know how to do it right. But then obviously there are some guys who take it overboard, and then it's not really fun anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like in sports, there's this balance between being confident in yourself, but also staying humble. And you come across to me as a very, very humble person. How do you keep that competitive edge and that confidence in yourself and your God-given ability, but also stay humble at the same time?
You know, honestly, it's a battle for me. It's not easy. You know, I like when I talked about, you know, my upbringing growing up, I moved from a predominantly Black community to predominantly white community when my parents split up, and I really struggled with fitting in and making friends. You know, my nickname was Ethiopia when I got to my new school, because I was tall and dark and skinny. And so I really did develop a real, you know, sense of, you know, fear and self-insecurity. I really was on anxiety. I was the number one player in the state of Florida in basketball, and I was on anxiety medication, and nobody knew about it. Just one coach and one trainer and one of my teammates, because I passed out in class. And so it's not something, you know, that's easy for me to find that balance of you know, not thinking less of myself, and just, you know, being confident in Christ and kind of keeping my identity where it's supposed to be. And so I really haven't figured out all to a T. It's a constant battle for me to speak the word of God over my mind and my heart, and to truly find my identity in Him and not the validation of other people or the world. It's something that I struggle with on a daily basis, but, you know, I've gotten so much better at it. Like, to be able to speak or even do this, like I used to not be able to hold, you know, really hold a conversation, let alone speak in front of people about my testimony or who I am or what God is doing in my life. So I've come a really long way, but it's definitely still a challenge.
Well, let me tell you something, man. Like, I got two kiddos, 16 and 14, and Why I Stand is something they read. And we just want to thank you for being an example, man. A lot of people, you know, choose to say you're not a what did Charles Barkley say? I'm not a role model. You know, some people say I'm not a role model, but you are. And people are always watching. And the fact that you could do what you did and stand, I couldn't have done it. I just don't think I would have had the courage to do it. And it's an unbelievable example for our babies. It's an unbelievable example for Christians and somebody to model our lives after, man. So keep shining that light. We know you're not perfect. We don't expect you to be perfect, but the fact that you're doing what you're doing is making it easier to parent. I can just tell you, for the 16 and 14-year-old. So we thank you, man, and thank you for joining us.
I appreciate that, fellas. Thank you so much. To God be the glory. I'm really grateful to be here. I love your podcast and everything that you guys are doing.
WeAreUnitas.com. Jonathan Isaac, the word of God is on his clothes. You can tell he lives it. So thank you, man, and thank you, everybody, for joining us.